Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by One United Bank, America's largest Black-owned bank and first Black internet bank.
Is your New Year's resolution to get your finances in order this year? One United has got you covered.
One United believes that money is power, and we can use it to build wealth in the Black community, not only for today, but for the future as well.
This is more than a moment. It's a movement. And with the right mindset and actions, we can be financially woke. When we unite the power of our dollars, there's no limit to what we can do.
Move your money and bank Black with One United Bank today. Visit oneunited.com to learn more. Hey, y'all. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Joy Marie here.
And Courtney.
And we're back. Did you guys miss us?
I hope so. New episodes of Job Locks on the 1st and 15th. We're back in the flow after the holidays.
Yes.
And we have a great episode coming up for you today. It's MLK Day. So in the spirit of Dr. King's commitment to financial freedom, we're celebrating the creative resistance
yes.
that we've shown to like dream big financially and make them a reality. So let's get into it.
But y'all know we like to start the episodes with a clock in, check in on how we're each doing personally, professionally, and also just chat, catch up on the affairs of the world.
Yes.
Courtney, how are you?
I'm doing good. The holiday cannot come soon enough. Like, it's only been how many days into the new year, and I was already 14. Like 3-day weekend. Oh my god. But it's just like everyone comes back and
yeah.
it's just like craziness.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad we have this, you know, quick holiday.
Yep. And another one coming up next
month.
Listen.
I booked a little getaway for the spring to look forward to.
Cute.
So that's good. And I tried something different this year.
What'd you do?
The girls were talking about visualization on social media. Instead of resolutions, you just write down the things that you see for yourself in the new year and just like what you will accomplish.
Okay.
And then that's supposed to like plant the seed. You revisit it throughout the year.
Okay.
And they say it works.
Can you share some of your visualizations?
I mean, it's a mix. Let me see. I have it on my phone. You know, it's a mix. A lot of it is making mental health, spiritual health a priority, getting healthy. And then a lot of like relationship stuff. I want to make sure I'm maintaining friendships, having good communication with my partner, and, you know, slaying at work.
Yes.
You know, the general.
Per
just,
usual.
You know, the general glow up.
I love
type
it.
Stuff.
I love it.
What about you?
I'm good. I had a really sunken place kind of holiday season. I stayed local and I wasn't with my family, so I probably won't do that again. But literally Jan 1st came through and I just felt the whole new energy of the new year. I just felt reinvigorated. I know people are kind of like anti-resolutions and stuff, but I really just always love the spirit of everyone like
I think
focusing
it's the collective energy
yeah.
that makes it special.
Yeah, so it's really awesome. It's been a great 2 weeks so far. I am really optimistic about the year. My focus word, if you will, or my visualization for myself is around discipline. And so, you know, I think I've done a lot and, you know, I've accomplished a lot. But I think if I were really more disciplined in all areas when it comes to health and finances and not, you know, just kind of hold off sometimes on immediate gratification for the longer term result.
Yeah.
I think that's just going to help to elevate in all areas. So I'm excited.
I'm excited for you.
Thank
you. I think
2018
is going to be an awesome year.
Me too. I feel it.
So have you read Fire and Fury?
No.
The Escándalo book about Trumpito.
Oh, no. No.
Oh, girl. I love a soap opera.
Did you read it?
I haven't finished it. I read like the first few chapters and it is so messy. Like, it
yeah.
is just like office drama.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's like the pinnacle of privilege. Like, so I haven't read the whole thing, but the gist so far is that nobody thought they were going to win. Mm. But then when they did win, they were like, oh, well, we must deserve it. We must.
Right.
Like, he must know what he's doing.
Right.
We must know what we're doing. And nobody knows anything.
Right.
So it's just everyone clawing at each other. Yeah. It's the most pettiest thing. And that's our country.
I'm waiting for the miniseries or soap opera to come out. Yes. Because that
Netflix
sounds like.
You
listen.
Know, I wonder who bought the rights to
right.
it, because it's already happened.
Prime Television.
Oh, it's going to be so good.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I'm going to have to check that out. In other news,
yes.
I liked the recent wave with the Time's Up mm-hmm. movement. So
yeah.
I tuned into a bit of the Golden Globes.
Yes,
saw everyone
black,
in their black
everything.
Attire.
Which, how like, did you feel
yeah,
about that?
Okay.
I had mixed feelings.
We're on the same page. Because okay. I was like, cute. You guys typically wear black to this black tie
And they
function.
Were like, and the men will be as well. I'm like, that's all they wear.
Right. So, I mean, you know, it felt like a bit of a complicit move.
And then it's like, was it all black or mostly black?
A little bit of black, right.
Nobody knew.
Because some of y'all were trying it.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm not one to critique people's little bit of effort. Like, any move in the right direction will take, but it's like, y'all gonna have to do more than that. So.
Yeah. I think it's just, I mean, they're trying, mm-hmm. but it's clearly not their wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, even like Ryan Seacrest out on that red carpet. I didn't watch the ceremonies, but
yeah.
I got into the fashions really quick.
Yes.
And he's and they like still trying to talk to people about like their movie and their shoes and like they're standing next to, like they had to force him to
yeah.
like talk about the issue.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
yeah, it's uncomfortable. It's
it
very
is
uncomfortable. But you know, I think in this 45 era of fire and fury and all of this that's happening with Time's Up, and even just kind of the Women's March last year, it's like a really incredible time to be mm-hmm. in media or just like to have conversations people were not comfortable having before.
Yeah.
So I look forward to more of that, even in like our career space and mm-hmm. stuff. Like, I just look forward to more
yeah.
honesty.
That's what I'm waiting to see, if it trickles down, because I feel like it happens in media because it's so close to like the people who like get the word out
mm-hmm.
and it's so visible. But like
mm-hmm.
you know, industries like farming or retail
yeah,
or anything else,
that's
like
true.
Is it gonna trickle down to
right.
there as well?
Right. We can't forget, I keep thinking only about the coastal elite, West mm-hmm. Coast, East Coast peeps in metropolitan cities, but it's a whole lot of in between.
Yeah. So get comfortable being uncomfortable.
Right. So now it's time for rants, raves, and reviews. As you guys know, this is the segment of the show where we highlight products, services, tools, or experiences that we're either currently loving or not loving so much in our professional lives.
Mm-hmm.
Courtney, you're up. What are you doing this week?
Well, in the spirit of, you know, creating healthy habits, I downloaded this app.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you always need a little help in these areas. It's
yes.
called Better Habits.
Okay.
And it's this really simple interface. You can only work on three habits at a time.
Mm.
And basically you open the app and it's like three big buttons basically for each habit.
Mm.
And you just hit the button every time you complete it. But
okay.
the thing is, when you set it up, they ask you like, what days of the week do you want to do this habit? Do you want a reminder? Like, how many reminders do you want?
Nice.
How difficult do you think it'll be? And based on that, they set the length.
Okay.
How long this is a habit on your app.
Oh,
and if
okay.
you miss like days, and they adjust the length
huh.
and kind of keep track.
Calibrate
of,
it.
Yeah,
yeah.
To, you know, to how you're doing. So I just like it as a simple concept because
yeah.
it's just like, I'm not thinking about it. Just like, okay, hit the
yeah.
button and it's done.
Yeah.
And you can kind of, and then it has a little progress bar to tell you how far you're
yeah.
along.
Yeah. What you working on?
I have... One is working out.
Oh, nice.
And then the two are really simple. I was listening to a Supercell podcast.
Yes.
Oprah's
Lady
baby.
O.
And she had this guy on there talking about happiness and how it's a choice. And you can do things to cultivate
yes.
and improve your mood. And
yeah.
one of the things he said was to just say three things that you're grateful for every day.
Oh my God, you better segue into my rant.
Yes. So every morning I have it set for to remind me, like on my commute, to like
oh,
just say three things that I'm grateful
for. I love
for.
That.
And the other one, he recommended was to write down a meaningful moment that happened during the last 24 hours.
Oh.
Just to, like, that makes you, like, pay more attention to the things that are happening.
Yes.
So, of course, you know, the gratefulness one is the easiest.
Yes.
I have all my sprint.
Yes.
I love it. The ones are a little lagging, but we're going to get it together.
That's awesome. Better Habits.
Better
definitely
Habits app.
Checking that out. I love that. So I am also raving this week.
Cute.
And I'm raving about mood charts.
And you showed me this.
I did show you this. So I was scrolling on my Insta stories, as one does, and I came across someone who had this really complex chart where it had every day of the week, every month of the year, and it had a little quadrant for each, and it was color-coded, and you basically go in every day and fill it with your mood. So were you happy that day, angry, frustrated, anxious? Were you, like, you know, super stressed out? And you color code it. And that way you can go back and just take sort of a glance at your month, at your week, and see where your peaks were and where your lows were, and maybe think through why. I think it's also a therapist tool. And so that was a little much for me. I'd actually started to build out the template. But I decided to take kind of a hybrid of that and do more of a gratitude chart. And so, like, you were just talking about, so someone gifted me a journal over the holidays, shout outs to my bestie, Yonori, and I decided to use it to fill in just, like, every day one or two things I'm really grateful for.
I love it.
And the other reason that I've enjoyed it so far, even in the new year, is because, like, looking back on the stuff I write down, so far it's, like, generally not related to, like, work accomplishments or, like, money or things like that, even though, you know, a lot of times when we reflect on the year, those are the things we highlight.
Yeah.
But for me, it's really been small moments, like having a very meaningful conversation with someone.
Yeah.
Or booking a trip somewhere, or, like, just having an awesome jam session on a Saturday morning with a playlist that I love. And so
it is a small thing.
Yeah.
Because I even noticed doing that, you know, gratefulness, those three things. Because he tells you, don't repeat it. Like, you have to choose something different. So you wind up, like, picking the most random, like, oh, the smell of fresh rain.
Yes.
And stuff like that. But it's important to notice those things.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, all that to say, like, just definitely stay encouraged. I think a lot of times we relate success to, like, what we've accomplished.
Yeah.
And I think that's fine. But I think real happiness comes from those small moments. And, like, to me, what I'm striving for this year is happiness as my form of success. So
your default.
Yes.
Yes.
Listen.
I love it.
At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. Now, this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check.
So, Martin Luther King Jr.
Yes.
I feel like, well, I think it's widely known among most circles that this is a figure that tends to get glossed over to kind of fit, you know, what looks good on a postage stamp.
Mm-hmm.
But as we were preparing for this episode, I was reading more on economic justice was really important for Dr. King. And he was actually assassinated as he was working on a march on Washington called the Poor People's Campaign.
And it was,
their goal was to erect a tent city on the National Mall as a way of plainly showing joblessness and, like, putting it basically at power's doorstep. And Dr. King actually wanted to eradicate poverty by giving every American a guaranteed middle-class income, which we call today a universal basic income.
Mm.
And so it's just interesting that these issues aren't new,
yeah,
and that people have been trying to kind of level the playing field,
yeah,
in this country for so long.
Yeah, and I think also what that strikes me as strongly that I never really thought about is, like, the conversation around, like, equal pay, mm-hmm, and careers and just, like, you know, that kind of equality in your workspaces, the stuff we talk about on here every week,
yeah,
is just as important to this movement and to the civil rights movement as well.
Right. And it's kind of like it's really intertwined. I remember, yeah, when I was in South Africa and we went to the prison where Mandela was housed, and mm-hmm, they have former prisoners as tour guides.
Mm.
And he was, wow, saying, you know, he basically shared with us, my boyfriend asked him, like, how does it feel to, like, work here?
Yeah.
And he was like, well, you know, we were given our freedom, but we weren't financially free. So, mm, we're still in bondage in that way.
Okay.
So it's just, like, it's systemic.
Yes.
It's, like, huge, huge problems.
Yeah.
But the one thing that gives me hope is that just as a people, as Black people, as immigrants, really American people, part,
yeah,
of our DNA is, like, being creative,
yep,
to, like, I want to make it happen.
We make it work.
You know, the odds are against me, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to make this work.
Yep.
So today we're really celebrating that.
Yes.
And all the time, you see, the hustle is real.
Yes.
But I feel like the first step of, like, making that happen is allowing yourself to dream and being clear,
mm-hmm,
about, like, what, because we always say, you know, we want to be successful. We want to,
yes,
be, you know, financially stable or be wealthy. But what does that look like?
Right.
To you.
To you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So defining is the first step, right?
I think so.
So articulating it. And, like, to your point, it does vary a lot by person. If you're in survival mode, you know, for you, that might be literally having the freedom and ability to take care of your basic needs and,
mm-hmm,
then a little bit more on top of that. But thinking beyond that, I mean, I'm just trying to think of, like, what some scenarios might be. For me, last year, a big focus was getting out of debt, a specific,
mm-hmm,
form of debt, and working and focusing on my savings so that if I really dig deep, it's so that I have the freedom to make choices that are right for me versus operating from a place of just paying my bills.
Yeah. Yeah, same. I feel like I'm such an independent person. Like,
mm-hmm,
just the ability to not be always on somebody else's time telling,
mm,
me what to do,
mm,
is a big part of that. But I think you kind of touched on it a little bit, kind of almost segmenting your dreams and, like,
yeah,
making them realistic.
Yeah.
Because, like, you can want, you know, the big pie in the sky, but also making it attainable. Because,
right,
if you go too hard, then it's just like, you're just creating frustration for,
yeah,
yourself.
That's
so
true.
It could be like, I want to be able to pay all my bills on time.
Yeah.
And I want to get out of debt.
And that's okay.
Right. That's,
and that's
just
perfect.
Because once you accomplish that,
yeah,
dream, you can get another one.
Yeah.
So I like this idea of kind of being very specific about what we want to accomplish and,
mm-hmm,
deciding what it looks like. And thank God, like, we live in a time where we have all the tools to, like, research and find out exactly what it takes,
yes,
to get there.
Right.
The internet exists, praise God. And I also think it's important that we share that vision with other people.
Yeah.
Especially finance can be, like, shame, you know, associated with it,
yeah,
or just, like, very private situation,
yeah,
you don't want to share it. But you never know, like, what resources are available to you if you're not talking about it.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, another piece of this too is, like, sometimes we all sort of operate in the capacity of what we've been exposed to. So,
mm-hmm,
sometimes you don't dream bigger because you haven't seen bigger.
Right.
And you don't know you can. And so I think another part of sharing or tapping into resources, whatever's available to you, or even the internet, that serves the purpose of also helping you to stretch those dreams,
mm,
you know, if it's relevant for you, and kind of helping you to think bigger and just know, like, oh, there's someone else out there that looks like me that had the same situation, that maybe was drowning in $40,000 of debt,
yeah,
but still managed to create, you know, a 6-month emergency fund. Like, I can do that too. And so I think that's kind of the other added benefit of sharing and reaching beyond yourself and trying to solve it on your own.
Yeah, and you never know. Like, it could be a potential partner. Like,
mm-hmm,
maybe, you want to buy a house and you could partner, you know, their investment groups to like buy houses or invest in the stock market or whatever you want to do. Like, you don't have to like, you know, completely stand on your own.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, I think another important part of just articulating that vision for financial freedom, though, is like knowing where you're starting. And we've talked about that in a lot of episodes. Like, you do have to get real about the position you're playing from. And so that does require, you know, doing the work of facing your current finances, taking a look at, you know, your current job, the current income streams that you have, and if they're serving you and if they're not. But you have to lay that all out and look at it. You can't really have this discussion if you haven't done that.
Yeah, I think you need to, really, it's work, like the whole way through. And when you lay it out, and you're real about where you are and where you want to be, then you can hold yourself accountable and track your progress.
Yeah. Also, when you think about your goals, like making sure not to define them by other people's expectations for you or of you is important, because I don't know. I can't, like, I think sometimes we feel like, oh, I need to like own a home, or I need to, you know, have a car and XYZ in my savings by this age, right? We put these like things, these parameters on it. But what's important for you? Like, is it that, or is it just the freedom to be able to travel two or three times a year? You know, like, what's actually important for your scenario? And so I think also doing the work to figure out, like, what do I value? And also, are my goals, both short and long term, going to set me up for the life I want to live later down the line?
So once you kind of lay it out and you're ready to like pursue these different goals, I wanted to talk a little bit about getting creative about whether it's generating income or financing ideas, because we see this all the time. And, you know, we see like the side hustle culture and people kind of want to get in on that. But what do you think is like a good way to begin if you're, you know, you're just at your job and you need some extra money? Do I have to go straight to like a waitress?
Right.
Word up to waitresses. Shout out to y'all.
Very important for the culture.
I did it for 2 weeks and I was done. I was done.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really interesting and tough question. I think it still starts with an audit, because I think sometimes you can look at your current job or, you know, your current financial situation, either find places to save or pockets to save to, you know, work towards that goal, or, you know, find small ways you can get additional income within, you know, your existing network. Even if when you start to audit like what you're good at and maybe things you've been doing for free that you need to start charging for. That still starts with kind of an audit of like, hey, what do my friends always hit me up for that I keep doing for them for free that I could start charging?
Yeah.
So I think looking, step number one is like still take a look at what you have available, because I think other things do require a little bit more legwork to step into.
Yeah, and I feel like, again, that's why community and sharing is so important, because other people will see things in you that you don't see.
Yeah.
And the flip side of that, well, other people need things and they don't realize that they have a resource in you that's right there.
Yeah.
To pay in exchange for services. So kind of uplifting each other.
Yeah.
Because I even look at like my, we say this all the time, like when I look at my family, like there's so much talent there. Like if we opened up a shop.
Right.
Like everybody has like a skill that they're good at. So it's just a matter of being strategic and looking at yourself differently.
Yeah.
Looking at yourself as a resource.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, like looking even at my own personal scenario, because that was a goal last year and even before, you know, creating things that can, you know, can serve as forms of or additional revenue streams for you is a good idea. So whether it's a podcast or, you know, a design website, or even if it's just like, you know, you do a series of weekly thought leadership LinkedIn posts on a specific topic, or maybe you give people, you know, your POV on what the arts community is doing every week. When you create things like that, those are easy ways to, maybe they don't make you money right away, but those are easy things you can then package later and serve up as content or, you know, partnerships with other people, or maybe even do an event around it. So I'd say like passively, you know, start to think about is there like content? Are there things like that I can start to create? But then I also think in two categories, like goods and services. Mm. So if you can create actual products, you know, I don't know if you like make jewelry or we'll do resumes.
I met somebody one day at a party. Mm-hmm. He made bracelets for men. Was able to quit his job just off of making bracelets for men. And he was like, oh, the bulk of my traffic comes because I looked into SEO. Mm. And anytime you Google men's bracelets and Google images, that most of my stuff comes up.
Oh, wow.
At the top. And I'm like,
listen,
you liberated yourself with bracelets.
Put me on.
It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, in this information era, honestly, like, think about, like, is it a good, is it a physical product I can create, or is it a service? You know, is it something I can do for others, like review their resume? The thing with both those scenarios, though, to your point, even in that example, is, like, you got to set it up the right way, yeah. And that takes work, and usually that takes an upfront investment as well, whether it's that SEO or the website or domain, you know, like, it takes work to get it out there the right way and also to build your customer base.
Yeah, for sure. And I think you also have to remember, like, you don't have to have this nationwide global brand for yourself. Like, you really know what you need to reach to turn a profit.
Yeah.
Know what you need to reach to live off of.
Yeah.
And just get there.
Yeah. And then, like, in this day, in the gig economy, too, you can do the waitress thing if you want. You can bartend. You can, you know, drive Ubers. Like, you can drive a Lyft.
I love the concept of, like, sites like Fiverr.
Yes.
Where they, like, simplify. It's just, like, a logo.
Yes.
I can give you this thing. And that's such a great entryway to, like, grow your clientele.
Exactly. Exactly. Etsy shops. Like,
yes.
The sky is truly the limit. It's just in all of that, it is a form of entrepreneurship. You're marketing yourself and your work. And so, yeah, take it seriously. Like, differentiate yourself, give people good customer service, get lots of testimonials, even before you're ready to start monetizing whatever it is. Like, if you're, for instance, in the example of, like, doing stuff for your friends for free all the time, tell them to start giving you testimonials
and
so you
referrals
can throw them together. Hello.
Amen.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So, honestly, the sky's the limit. What's like, what did you do outside of your day job last year? It was a creative way you made a little extra money.
Well, I usually use writing as a fallback, and it was amazing. It's amazing how things work, because I was writing, just, you know, pitching media outlets for work, and then one day somebody hit me up, like, through my, like, website portfolio.
Nice.
And was like, oh, I'd like to offer you, like, you know, this corporate writing gig.
Yeah.
You're writing articles for, it was a Getty website.
Nice.
And she was paying me, like, 10 times.
Yes.
What I was making writing for media outlets.
Work.
So it's just, like, the level up, like, put in the work.
Yeah.
Make sure you're packaging so people see your expertise.
Yeah.
And, like, and you'll attract, like, the bigger fish.
And that's interesting, too, because that's also, like, don't sleep on people that don't look like what you think your client should be, right? Like, as a writer, you might think, oh, I got to be in, like, a publication or a media outlet.
Yeah, it was all digital content.
Yeah.
And she was like, well, I need some digital content.
Yeah.
So praise God.
Listen, I love a good B2B play. I tell all my friends,
stop trying
to sell to, like, these, like, your friends and these consumers out here who got $20, $30, $50 for you. Work with businesses.
That's smart. Yeah.
Businesses got bigger budgets. So,
you
know, if you can go into, you definitely have to have your stuff together with them, invoice templates and all of that.
Yeah. Oh, I saw this on one of my shows I love on is it CNBC? Mm-hmm. It's called The Prophet.
Yes. I love that show. Yes.
Oh, I love it. And it was like this little boy in Jersey. He was selling cookies.
Mm-hmm.
Boy was like, he was like selling direct to consumer, but he had hooked it up. He went to the Mercedes-Benz dealership and was like, buy all these cookies for the people who are waiting for their car.
Yes.
So he had just sold out his inventory like each week to the Benz dealership.
Yes. Then you got to deal with one client, right, one accounting department. You might not see your money for 90 days. Listen. But
that's another podcast.
That's a bigger check. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the wave I'm on. In the past, I've done freelance graphic design work, which wasn't worth my time. And so I had to stop, because also when you're thinking about your pricing, make sure you're billing for all that back end time it takes to put whatever you're doing together. And then last year, just like on an influencer tip, you know, we got a couple gigs here and there. We don't even have like a crazy big following, but again, referrals.
Yes, quality.
I
love it.
Awesome.
So we talked a little bit about the investment needed up front.
Yes.
And I've had people reach out to me and ask just like different ways like to get your idea off the ground or your project. And a friend of mine, her sister wanted to launch a book. So she texted me like, she can't afford the photographer, this or that. So thinking about creative ways to start. And one thing that's really simple that I don't think people give as much weight to as they should is like trade and barter. And first of all, you got to have quality to get quality to use the tactic.
Right.
But thinking like, okay, so I'm a writer. I need a photograph for my work. Reach out to, first of all, a photographer that's on your level, similar standing, like starting out. You can't like shoot for somebody who's getting the big gigs.
Yes.
And so like, hey, I see you're out here. Let me write. Do you need any like writing for your website or writing for like your portfolio or anything else? And see if you can trade that way.
Yeah.
And that's a great way to, one, build a network and also get the things that you need.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, because it's layers to all of that, from the makeup artist to the photographer to, like you said, the website stuff. And that's also a good point, because don't try to be, you know, a jack of all trades and an expert of none. Like, you will burn yourself out sometimes trying to do all of it. So work with the people who do it well and learn how to delegate in certain areas, too, like. If it's not your expertise, you know, 300 hours working on it when you could be focused on the thing that you're actually good at.
Right, right. And there's sites out there that are doing really interesting things. I mean, again, like, technology has empowered us in so many ways. So, like, there is, I know, Kickstarter just came out with Drip, which is, like, kind of like, what is it, Patreon?
Yeah.
Like, these subscription services where you can get people to, like, make regular
donations to your
project.
Yeah.
You know, things like GoFundMe and Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Although, always read the fine print for those.
Yeah.
Because, like, sometimes they take out crazy percentages.
Fees,
But you can always replicate that, like, on your own time. Like, I've had people offer, like, oh, I'll give you, like, a dedication in, you know, my book if you, like, can help support me for it. Or, you know, kind of almost like being like a founding patron or sponsor for someone.
Yeah.
I think it's just really, first of all, I think it's like, set your pride aside. Like, you have
to be
creative and just not be afraid to like ask people for help.
Yeah.
But also like have something that makes it worth their while.
Yeah. Because people are investing in you. Like, anything that I've ever funded, I'm deeply invested in. And I also want to see how it turns out. Like, don't have me donate and that's the last I hear from you. Like, what happened to the project?
Like make them a community. Like, you have to build it up.
Yeah.
And make it exciting.
I want to go back to what you said about how to even get off the ground, because I feel like that's really important. And it's like kind of easy to gloss over when you're having a conversation. But to me, that's what differentiates people who succeed from people who don't, and whatever that revenue stream might be. So like, I'm sitting at home. I have my job. I've figured out like, you know, X amount of money that I want to make per month more on top of my salary.
Okay.
I've done a little bit of research. Like, how do you actually get off the ground and do it in a productive way? What would you say are like a couple of steps?
Well, for me and a lot of my friends, I've noticed when you build up expertise at a certain level, a lot of times you're your own worst enemy to like shipping it and like mm-hmm. getting it out the door.
Mm-hmm.
So like I work in communications and like you, like a lot of people in design and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And like they will be like just torturing themselves
yeah.
over like, does this look right? Do you
yeah.
think the messages are right? And does yeah. this look right? And is it at this level? And it's like a balance between being polished and
yeah.
professional and making sure it looks like quality, but also like
just starting.
You have to start.
Yeah.
Like you have to get it out
yeah.
the door.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think a lot of people can get paralyzed in that
yeah.
space.
I think a good approach for that I've encouraged a lot of my friends, like they'll reach out and be like, oh, you guys have a podcast, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, just start with one. Just
mm-hmm.
ship one thing, right? So in your design example, reach out to one friend and say, hey, can I do the flyer for your next event? Don't, you know, in the back of your mind, you're worried about money for the website and getting
yeah.
your email
and
together.
The logo.
And doing the logo
yeah.
and throwing up the Instagram and getting the business plan. Work on that parallel path, but like, just do the one thing with the one person, finish it, and get that content so that you can throw that on the site. And
mm-hmm.
once you have three or four of those, bundle them and say, hey, this is my service, this is what I do.
Yeah.
And even if the site isn't ready, just shoot an email out to your network and say, hey guys, like I'm designing like flyers, for instance.
Yeah.
Here is a couple examples, here's my rate sheet, you know, you could throw that together faster. But to your point, don't be paralyzed by the laundry list of things you need to
yeah.
perfect, because you will iterate and improve as you go.
Yeah, I think people forget about the, like, it's like testing and iteration.
Yeah.
And I feel like we talked about this way, way, way long ago.
Yeah.
Where this one management book I was reading was talking about, you fire little bullets.
Mm-hmm.
Don't fire the cannon. But,
right.
At
right.
your first try. Like,
right.
test it out. See where your target
yep.
is. See what the response is.
Yeah.
And then based on that, you can make it better so that when you come with the cannon.
Yes.
The cannon is researched. It is like, you know, audience tested.
Yes.
It's together.
Yes. Like, so I want everyone to pause this, grab a pen and some paper or your little notepad, and literally write down like three small actions you can take towards that like revenue thing you've been thinking about or that business idea, like right now.
We'll
you know?
Wait.
We got to say a time. I feel like we have to put a time frame on it, too. Like,
true.
That you can actually take, say, within the next 4 weeks.
I like that. Because I was going to say Q1, but that's not even. That's
no,
too much
it's
time.
Too long for the girls.
It's too much time.
I know how y'all do because I do it, too. I'll be like, oh, like. All right. So we've talked a little bit about the importance of diversifying our income and creating financial freedom for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about, you know, creative ways to do that, a couple of ideas from us, but we definitely want to hear you guys' ideas as well.
For sure.
And then how to actually get those ideas off the ground, right?
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of a plan. But I think there's also another element, which we sort of touched on, but what are like some really creative things you've seen people do with their communities, with
mm-hmm.
their friends to come up with more money?
Well, I have been intrigued lately because I saw it once on Twitter and
uh-huh.
once on Instagram in the course of 2 days, which means it's a trend. And that
facts.
Is like the tech equivalent of the Susu.
Yeah.
Which, like, using, like, these different cash apps. And a Susu is basically, it's like a savings club.
Yeah. If you're West Indian or African, you know all about this.
Okay.
Your little, like, it'll be like a family or, like, your local community. And basically everyone puts in a certain amount of money every
mm-hmm.
month or whatever. And then you cash out, but you have to, so everyone gets that whole pot. But you have to take turns.
Okay, so each month, everyone gets all the money that everyone contributed.
And one just, person gets,
one
yeah,
person,
one
and
party.
It alternates.
But every month you put in, and so it alternates who gets the whole pot
all right.
every month.
So, like, if you did it early,
mm-hmm.
then it's almost like, oh, I just got a loan because I didn't
yeah.
give a lot
yeah.
and I got all this money. And
yeah.
if you get it late, it's like, oh, I've been saving
yeah.
and now I get all this money.
Yeah.
And I just think it's a sign that people are looking for ways to help one another
yes.
and like looking for like creative solutions.
Yeah.
Because like that's a really old concept.
Yeah,
but now that we have like the app,
technology.
You can just zing, you know, your payment.
I love it.
I love that when things like are like recreated.
Me too.
In like the tech world.
Yeah, get creative out here. Like,
yeah.
I've seen people do house parties.
Like, I love, because you went, the party you went to on New Year's. Yes. You were telling me your friend.
My homegirl.
Throws house parties.
Yeah, shout out to Erica. Yeah, she has a brownstone in Brooklyn. And, like, she's the type of person who's always cooking, always hosting, like, throws down when you go over there. And, again, going back to, like, what you already do and where you can make money. Like, first of all, throwing events costs a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So we were just like, girl, charge some coin.
And you pay so much in New York to go to these events.
You
and
do.
They trash.
You do. Exactly.
Yeah.
So look, maybe like it's a brunch series in your apartment. Maybe it's a book club that you put together once a month and you ask people for a little bit. But mm-hmm. look, there's so many creative ways to
yeah. And I love how you were saying like she has her whole family.
Yes. Her mom was working the door.
Yes,
her friend, her best
no
friend was
go
in the kitchen.
Mama. I love it. That reminds me of like when I was in Cuba mm-hmm. and like the girl was like, oh, my father-in-law's gonna come get you to pick you up. And if mm-hmm. you need something to eat, yep. my mother's got this and this. Like, they were putting everybody on.
Yes.
And that's the way to do it.
Airbnbs, family hustles.
Yes.
Like, that's another great way, too.
And that's, like, so, like, I remember watching, like, Cooley High, like, mm-hmm. these old 70s movies in, like, Chicago and Harlem. And, like, what is it but a rent party? And
yes.
just, like, ask, like, come over. You got to pay.
Right.
Rent is due
right.
Friday.
Listen. We are so creative.
Listen,
as a community.
We're not
I
new
stand.
To this. We're not new to this.
What else?
I would say a small way to build with your community is to support small businesses.
Yes.
I was recently put onto this app. It's called Official Black Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically, it looks great too on your phone. It's like a database of Black small businesses.
Oh,
and people can
that.
Submit them, or the business owners can, like, you know, do up their profile.
Yeah.
And it basically, it's like anything from like a pharmacy to restaurants to stores.
Yeah.
And you can just, like, again, money is power. And, like, what do you want to empower
yeah.
with your money?
Yeah. Directories are actually a good way to also make money. I don't know what the profit margins are, but people are lazy. So when you take the time to curate a list like that for people,
yeah.
whether it's in a newsletter or on your IG feed, like, you know, those are ways to say, hey, you know, upgrade for a premium price. I could give you a couple more personalized options. I know a girl actually who she does, like, tour guides. She just traveled a ton.
Yeah.
And so Cuba especially, you know how everyone's
yeah,
always like,
yeah.
how do I get to Cuba? Like, everyone has a question about Cuba. She just started putting guides together and charging for them.
And that is so simple. And because it's, like, it fits the times as well. Because,
yeah.
like, nobody wants a full-blown, like, travel agent.
Right.
So you're like,
right.
I can get on Google Flights.
Yes.
So, but, like, just tailoring it to, like, how much involvement people want.
Yep.
I love that.
Yeah, tweet us what you guys have done. I want to hear, whether with your community or on your own.
Yeah, how you getting the coin?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like 2018 is also adding it, in addition to being a great year, it's an intentional year.
Yes.
And just being really specific about, like, what we use our money toward
mm-hmm.
and what we empower with it.
Yep.
And kind of continuing that legacy.
I'm here for it.
Well, thank you guys for tuning in, getting a little woke on MLK Day.
Yes, we hope you were as inspired as we are to go forth and just create for yourself and for your communities.
Create. Don't forget, if you have career or life questions or just, you know, want to pick our brain,
mm-hmm.
we will do that for free.
Listen,
on here because we like
here.
You.
Yes. Hit us up, jobblogs.com/askjobblogs.
And of course, many, many thanks to our sponsor, One United Bank, America's largest Black-owned bank.
Yes, they live this, everything we talked about today, economic empowerment and supporting our communities 24/7. So check them out at oneunited.com or at One United around the web.
And of course, we want to hear from you. Again, tell us your ideas for creative ways for financial empowerment. We're at Joblogs all around the web and on joblogs.com.
Yep, I'm Hamis Parker.
And I'm at Cleave Out Loud on the web. Can't wait to talk to you guys again.
Black History Month. See you on the
ow,
first.
Ow.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.